Even though the Grand Canyon has been federally protected for the last century, the National Park Service has had to contend with many threats, including dams, mines, climate change, and development. From KJZZ's Fronteras Desk in Flagstaff, Laurel Morales reports.
On a recent visit to the Grand Canyon, I did something I don't normally do. I closed my eyes to hear what Southern Paiutes call the songscape.
And they would listen to the wind as it goes through the trees, and they would learn their songs by listening to the wind. And I think you can still hear it today.
That's what Grand Canyon National Park's Jan Balsam does when she's feeling overwhelmed. But it's difficult to hear in some parts of the canyon where as many as 400 helicopter tours fly over each day. Balsam's job is to shield the park from threats like this.
When we have protected places, I mean, there is a presumption that they're protected forever and you don't have to worry about it. We've designated it, we've put a label on it, and what you've come to find when you work in this field is that doesn't really mean anything, because that protection is only as good as the people who are available to help preserve it and steward it.
People like Grand Canyon guide and educator Krista Sadler.
The most important thing to fight for is our public lands, because once we lose these places, no matter what happens with the laws, once we lose these places to extraction, roads, dams, drilling, whatever, we don't get them back in our lifetimes.
On river trips down the Colorado River through the canyon, Sadler takes some of the 6 million visitors the canyon sees each year to a proposed dam site that would have flooded a good portion of the canyon. She tells visitors, "We have people like Martin Litton to thank for putting an ad in the New York Times that said, should we also flood the Sistine Chapel so tourists can get nearer to the ceiling?"
By the end of the 60s, it was defeated. Had the public not stood up and fought for this, everything that we'd traveled to up to that point, about mile 38, would have been underwater. We have to stay vigilant, and we have to be willing to stand up and speak for these places.
Some say not enough people spoke up to stop Glen Canyon Dam upstream of Grand Canyon. But as Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles grew, so did the demand for air conditioning and drinking water. The dam still provides electricity and water for much of the West today, but at a cost to the Grand Canyon. The dam replaces natural runoff with artificial flows. It drastically changes the temperature of the river, and it puts a cork in all of the sediment that provides habitats for now endangered animals downstream. Northern Arizona University researcher Matt Kaplinski and other scientists study those impacts.
The entire riparian ecosystem down along the river corridor is, I've heard it described as, it's a house of cards built on sand. When the dam was constructed and all that sediment was blocked, people were seeing these sandbar habitats being eroded away. And a lot of the outcry from river runners and environmental activists led to the environmental impact statement.
That environmental impact statement has led to advisory groups that try to alleviate those impacts. The park has gone so far as to helicopter coolers full of endangered fish called the humpback chub to nearby tributaries so they might have a better chance at survival. Those fish have now been removed from the endangered species list. The Park Service tries to mitigate threats as best as it can, but in the end, Grand Canyon spokeswoman Jan Balsam says these places belong to all of us.
We have to be working with our partners to be able to develop in a way that sustains the experience and the resource at the same time. And if we can't sustain the resource, the experience will suffer.
Every day at the park, Balsam walks by a plaque with a quote from former President Teddy Roosevelt, who made the Grand Canyon a national monument. It says, "Do nothing to mar its grandeur. Keep it for your children's children, and all who come after you." Laurel Morales, KJZZ News, Flagstaff.
And here to talk with us more about threats to the Grand Canyon over the last century is KJZZ's Fronteras Desk reporter in Flagstaff, Laurel Morales. Over the last 15 years, she has covered issues facing the park. Laurel, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
In your feature we just heard, you talk about dams, but there have been other threats as well. Uranium mining is an issue that's made news again this week. How has mining affected the park?
Well, as you're probably aware, Grand Canyon is a microcosm of what's happening all over the U.S., and not long after prospectors staked copper claims in southern Arizona, Dan Hogan staked his claim in Grand Canyon. It was before it became a park. But the copper mining continued until World War II. Then, during the Cold War era, uranium became valuable, and mining companies discovered some of the richest uranium ore in the country inside the Grand Canyon. And mining was actually allowed under a law signed by President Kennedy in 1962. Now that market petered out pretty quickly in the late 60s, and it didn't spike again until the mid 2000s. And in 2012, the Obama administration put a 20-year ban on all new mining claims on land surrounding the park. The concern is Grand Canyon's landscape is full of fractures, faults, and sinkholes, and the spring below that now defunct uranium mine inside the park contains unsafe levels of dissolved uranium. Environmentalists make the argument that we need more studies to find out the impacts. So this week, Representative Grijalva introduced legislation that would make that ban on all new claims permanent.
So from uranium, you briefly mentioned helicopters in your story. How do they pose a threat there?
Many who explore the canyon below the rim take solace in the peace and quiet, but overflight rules have allowed as many as 400 helicopters over the western side of the Grand Canyon, known as Helicopter Alley. And on a river trip several years ago, I experienced it for myself, and going through Helicopter Alley felt like I was going through a war zone. Tourism is the Hualapai tribe's main source of revenue, and they don't have the same restrictions as tour companies that tour companies do outside of Indian country. So, and the Federal Aviation Administration and the Park Service have fought for decades over the number of tours allowed, where they're allowed to fly, and phasing in of quieter technology. One park superintendent said that working with the FAA was like having a root canal.
Now, we of course know it's such a beautiful place and so many people want to do things there. How has development posed a threat to the park?
Well, back when Dave Uberaga was superintendent, I spoke with him about this issue, and he would say, for one of the most protected pieces of land in the country, it's amazing I spend all my time trying to protect it. And over the years, there have been several proposed developments surrounding the canyon, including, I think this is the closest one to the canyon itself, a gondola ride to a restaurant on the floor of the canyon, and that's on the Navajo Nation side. And then in Tusayan, the community just south of the park, an Italian developer has proposed a water park, theme park, hotel, and spa that, as you can imagine,
Wow.
would really tap out the water that's available to Grand Canyon Village.
That's incredible. So development, uranium, helicopters, but what would you say is the biggest threat to the park?
Actually, when I spoke with several people before doing this piece, all of them came back to climate change. As temperatures increase, we're seeing more dust storms. When dust falls on the snow in Colorado, the snow melts faster. And scientists say we need to keep the snow on the mountains as long as possible so we have water in the drier summer months in the Southwest. That melted snow winds up in reservoirs like Lake Powell, and that provides water and electricity for much of the West. Grand Canyon Senior Advisor to the Superintendent Jan Balsam talks about this issue.
The Grand Canyon itself will survive. It's survived for millions of years. It will survive without us into the future. But I think the one overarching concern has got to be looking at the shifts in our climate and our water availability. That's a big piece of it. So I think if there is one thing, that would be the one.
So water is really the biggest concern for Grand Canyon and the people who work there and visit and enjoy the park.
And that's KJZZ's Fronteras Desk reporter in Flagstaff, Laurel Morales. Laurel, thank you for helping us mark 100 years of Grand Canyon National Park.
You're welcome, Steve.